If you would open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And we'll start there today. Galatians chapter 6, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Let's see what the Lord has. Father, I want to say thank you, Lord. I know that you're faithful, Lord, and I know that you speak, Lord, and I know there's a reason, Lord, and the only thing I can figure is there must be someone who needs to hear a message today from me or from someone else, Lord God, but I love you and I trust you and I ask that you would bless your people, Lord God. I also pray for the upcoming weeks, Lord, that you would supernaturally give me wisdom and understanding and instruction on the tough chapter 6 of Hebrews for the future. So we pray for this wisdom. We pray for today's blessing, the manna for today, Lord, that you would supply it and it would be led of your Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Okay. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 starts off with us thinking about other people. And it starts off with this verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says this. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, right now, I don't know about you, but whether it's pressure or finances or anxiety, there is a lot of stuff that people are carrying. And maybe there's a lot of stuff you're carrying, right? Sometimes we know about it, sometimes we don't. But the Bible in Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry each other's burdens. So I wanted to ask you, as a Christian, and knowing that sometimes we can get overloaded with these burdens, I don't know who has the microphone or where it is, but can somebody tell me, if you've walked with the Lord, what does it mean to you to help carry one another's burdens? Because sometimes we all have a different perspective. So what does it mean to you as a Christian to carry each other's burdens? Or whom do you see? Or do you see someone that you're like, man, I want to be like that person. I see them carrying one another's burdens. I see them carrying, looking out for the needs of others. Does anybody have anything that they would like to share? Okay. Thank you.
For me, it was more like when somebody calls you and they're down or they're in a rough patch or something's going on and you just start praying for them. I know everybody knows Kim So Cool.
Yeah.
She is my prayer warrior,
yeah.
And I pray for her every time. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's something that I spent my whole life knowing the Lord.
Yeah.
And really was never a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like that for me is where you're really going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I wanna just pray for this person because
right.
they need extra
right.
Prayer.
You know? Intercession, help, encouragement, prayer. Good. What does it mean to carry someone's burdens? Yes. Thank you, Pastor.
I think maybe when a brother and sister or a sister is struggling with something and they confide in you, you know, that you are there to cry with them and to listen, even if you don't say a word, just to be there. And then you laugh with them when they're experiencing joy and proud of them when you see them succeed, you know.
Yeah.
You just share the feelings. But also, there I believe that there is also a physical element to it, even though that is physical being there. But,
yeah.
You know, if you're able to, if someone is struggling in an area, like, I don't know, babysitting, they need a break,
yeah.
you know, just help them, just helping in whatever way, need help moving or are not feeling well and they can't provide meals for their families temporarily, a little meal train, you know, just
good.
A physical aspect where we actually physically do
good.
Something for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Excellent. Good. Anybody else? We got one there, one here, so just see.
To piggyback a little bit on Neely, the empathy that you feel for someone is that you're feeling what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And that's when you really get down and dirty and pray for this person because
yes.
you feel it, you know it.
Yes.
It's there. Second is working in a middle school.
Yeah.
I feel the need for some of these kids, what they're going through
yeah.
without opening a mouth.
Yeah.
And all they need is prayers and maybe listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just want to hear you. They just want you to hear them.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do, so they just want you to hear them.
Yeah.
And I try to give them my ears.
That's good.
I try to listen to them good. Instead of, well, what you should do.
Yeah.
That just turns them off and
yeah.
and then they back off of you.
Yeah. Good.
Just listen to them.
Good. Good. Yes. Go ahead. Yeah.
I believe it's helping where you can. Like the Bible talks about us being one body.
Yeah.
And so the eye helps us to see, you know, and the hand helps us to pick things up. And so
yeah.
we each have different
gifts and roles.
Gifts. Yeah. So what you can help with.
Yes. So there are various gifts and there's various ways to help. And I think God has used each one of us differently. All those and more. Does anybody else have something they want to say? Yeah, Don. Or Lisa.
I've been involved in churches that have had an extra offering, and they share it with their congregation when their electric bill isn't, need tires, anything like that.
Yeah.
So you're carrying their burdens.
Yes, yes.
We as a congregation do
yes.
that.
Yes. Now, just so you know, because for those of you who are new here, we don't keep passing the plate to do that, but we're giving to people continually. We just don't announce it because we don't want to let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. We're doing it all for the Lord. So, yes.
Another side of carrying others' burdens is the side that's really kind of messy. You know, it just... Right before this scripture verse is talking about people being caught in sin. And there's that burden that comes with the people in our lives, the people we love, the people that we, you know, work with and everything, and their sin. And their sin sometimes is a burden on us. And we're to gracefully, and knowing who we are at the foot of the cross, carry that too. Because it, you know, patience, the word patience, I like to throw that out and say long-suffering. Because when we have to deal with people's sin patterns, I feel like either we're dealing with people's sin patterns or they're dealing with our sin patterns. You know, it's always happening because we always have that conflict. But that's another part of carrying somebody else's burden is, you know, like, you know, I thought about it this week. My kids in the kitchen, right? I was a mess in the kitchen, but my kids' mess really stands out to me in the kitchen. I'm like, dude, what's going on here? And the Lord was like, do you remember the mess you left for your mother? Do you remember what you used to do to your mother? And then, you know, knowing where I came from made that my kids do dishes. Don't worry about that. They know how to take care of a kitchen, but we all make a mess sometimes. But that's the part of that, too, is we all make a mess. Every one of us makes a mess, and we're sometimes left to carry that for the people in our lives, the people we love. And there's no, like, condition of do you like this person or how big of a mess it was in the carrying the burden.
Good. Good. I'll say, you know, there's a, sorry, Pastor. So I would say a couple of things. One is I think we need a new battery in this thing. Okay. But the loads that we carry do help with burdens, and they include some, and this is not exclusive to these things, but it includes instructing younger believers because there's wisdom of the Lord. There's these Bible studies. Okay, yes, if you can do it quickly. Sometimes there's instructions. You know, whenever we have a Bible study, especially a new one that you haven't taken, I want to encourage you to take that. Now, you know, the people who are facilitating the Bible studies, they're giving up their time. They're happy to do that. It's the joy of their, like, for example, Pastor Gary and some others are going to be teaching these, and myself will be teaching this new Experiencing God course. And you know what? It's the joy of our hearts to be able to share. And the more you learn and grow, the more you share that with others. So when you're taught, you in turn go and then you help others, and then you teach others, and then you encourage. So all this is happening. All this is encouraging, because there are times when, you know, we get in our own way most of the time, right? And so anytime, all these Bible studies, it's a way to instruct, or even when you're counseling one another, when you're calling one another up, here's what we don't need. You don't need somebody to go along with your sin. You need a friend. Thank you, brother. You need a friend that says, hey, I love you so much. I'm so sorry you're going through this, but hey, I think you're wrong here. Doing it in a humble, loving way. That's what people really need. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it also means encouraging stumbling saints. Listen, it's very easy to be self-righteous and to be a religious jerk. And that is not what God has called you to do. Again, he's called you to be a helping hand to encourage one another when they're down. And so you want to be encouraging those saints around you. It also means comforting, like you were talking about. Neely was talking about comforting people who are grieving and afflicted, whether that's personally, on the phone, just listening to them, like Martha was saying, you know, visiting, talking with the sick and lonely, assisting those who are in financial straits. It means counseling those who are struggling. We do marriage counseling continually every week here. Sometimes for people who are struggling, sometimes to brush up on things, and it's there to help everybody. Guidance in the Word, it means to help others grow. It means listening, caring, connecting, praying. Sometimes you just being here, Vinny, sitting with your friend, Nehemiah, do you know what is helping to carry his burden? Sometimes just listening to Don or listening to Pastor Gary when there's... Is sometimes it's a practical thing. Let me come alongside. Let me help you sweep afterwards. Sometimes it's, you know, this little illustration that somebody gave me this morning, right? About the kintsugi, right? That I was able to share with you. That's them helping to carry. And I was able to bless you because of that. So sometimes it's listening. All these different things. Sometimes it's praying for others. That's so big, you know, reaching out, texting, calling, you know, and this burden bearing, it shouldn't be a legal obligation. Like, it shouldn't be, oh, Martha's going through stuff. Dang it. Now I got to sit and listen to her for 20 minutes as she whines. I'm a good Christian. Guess I'll do it. Do you know what I mean? That's not the right heart that Jesus wants us to have. It's motivated by grace and love and is the obedience to the law of liberty, right? It's kind of like when Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount. And back in those days, the Roman soldiers, they were the enemies of God's people, right? But they could come up to you at any time, and they could take, the Roman soldier would have his backpack and things that he was carrying, his weapons, and he could just tap you on the shoulder with his spear, right? It's pilar. Tap you on the shoulder, and then you had to go a mile and carry his burdens. That was the law in the day of Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, as a Christian, I want you to go an extra mile. I'm sure the disciples were like, wait, what? We don't even like the Romans, and they're making us do this. And you're saying you want us not only to take their stuff a mile, but you want to go the extra mile? And Jesus said to them this, he said, whoever compels or whoever forces you to go 1 mile, I want you to go with him too. I don't know why this is not going. There we go. Now it's going to go like 10 clicks in a row. It's like, I want you to go with him too. And why do that? Because you know then it's of the Lord. Because you know what? If it was up to me, I wouldn't go with that Roman soldier at all. I wouldn't carry it at all. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Now imagine somebody who's not your enemy. You know, sometimes we don't know that Terry's hurting because no one's sitting and talking with her. I'm just picking because I know. Sometimes, so that's why when you get to know one another, when you come to these events or when you come to these studies or when you get involved with the people and things, you get to know one another's burden. I know Brett knows Neely a lot better now. And that's because you've joined the worship team. You're loving, you're serving more, and you've come to know one another. You've shared burdens, and that's helped you both to grow stronger. For example, it's the same thing when you get to know one another within the body. And so, and maybe sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like I'm running half on empty. Like, I need to be charged in. Sometimes if you're giving out all the time, you feel like, oh my gosh, I have nothing left to give, and I need to charge up. But that's when we pray and we said, Lord, will you help me? Will you fill me up to encourage somebody today, somehow, some way? And the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians. This is in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, but encourage the disheartened. Are you doing that? Are you encouraging those who are disheartened? Do you even know that our people around you are disheartened? Are you helping the weak? Maybe they're weak in the Lord. Maybe they're weak in the Word. Maybe you need to help shepherd them along a little bit. Are you patient with everyone? Or as Lisa or Michelle Barr said, long-suffering with them. It's easy to be this kind of Christian. You ready? Pastor D's sermon was supposed to be in Hebrews 6. And now it's Galatians. And it was probably going to be too long anyway. And the worship, I don't know what it was with that new drum. I don't know what. And Gary, how he took too long with the announcements. He was too short with the announcements. The air conditioning is too, well, it's never too low, but in my mind. But, right, so we don't want to have a haughty heart. We want to have a humble, helping heart. I would ask you, and I know I say this, I probably sound like a broken record, but, and many of you do this, and I'm so grateful for you if you do this. When you come here, it should not be about you only. You should be asking. You should be praying, asking the Lord, even on your drive over, Lord, will you please help me to encourage someone? Would you please help me to strengthen someone? Would you please help me to bless someone in your name, Jesus, today? That way, it's not all about you. You're already thinking about how do I please you, Lord? How can I bless others? When you come to church, you're a mini minister. I don't know if there's any mini ministers. They're just ministers. And that's what you are. Minister just means servant. We don't need to be like the prissy little princess or the king when we come to church, right? This is the haughty Christian. This is how I see the haughty Christian, right? Okay, this is a little picture to me. This is Galatians 6:3 ends up saying this, and I think it's the perfect little picture for her. It says, if you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. It says in the New Living Translation, you're not that important. Listen, really, you know, pastor, oh, you're a pastor. All that means, it's just, oh, you're a minister. All that means is servant. And yes, Pastor Gary, we have a question or a comment over here. So we need to be serving with humble hearts. Okay, yes.
Previous
ma'am.
One. Listening to what you're saying this morning, yes, totally reminded me of when we were in Georgia this year. I fell and I face planted in the gravel, and it was horrible. And I spent days feeling very, very bad for myself and sorry for myself. I got attacked by hornets, felt very sorry. So I was very disheartened,
yes,
and I couldn't. You know, typically I'm pretty quick to praise Lord and thank him and whatever it is, because I know you have a purpose and whatever. Yeah. And I was just wallowing in self-pity because I was miserable. And my husband goes, but you didn't break your nose, but I didn't have to run you to the hospital. But, you know, you didn't have 1,000 hornets.
Yeah.
You only had 3 stings.
Yeah.
Like, these are blessings. The Lord still protected you, you know.
Yes.
And I couldn't really see it until he had a panic attack. Hopefully he won't kill me for this.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
So we were headed to the hospital. We're on our way. And Lord absolutely gave me words to pray, saying, thank you for this. Thank you for what we're in. I know that you have a purpose. I know you're going to work it all out. And I was praising him while Kevin was disheartened.
Yes.
And so, I mean, how amazing is... And I just... It was felt so perfect that he was praying for me and thanking the Lord and praising him in that situation for me, because I couldn't.
But that's what we do. And then you do it for someone else.
And,
that's what's going to happen. You're going to find, if you're that type of person and you're reaching out and you're blessing and encouraging, well, nobody encourages me, nobody prays for me, then you be the one to do it for everybody else. Amen, you be the catalyst. You be the starter. Does that make sense? You. Yeah, well, my husband, my wife, my kids, my pastor, you do it, right? And so, again, you do it humbly, right? You don't do it haughtily. If you do it haughtily, let me tell you, you've erased everything. I'm just being honest. You know, like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, Paul's showing us here that what prevents a believer from filling his role as a reviver, as a restorer, right, is of a brother or sister is thinking themselves more highly than they are, right? If a Christian neglects or refuses to bear somebody else's burden, I don't care about that. I don't care about why do I need to serve a church? They need to serve me. Tithe. They need to give to me. Listen, that's the opposite heart, right? It's because they themselves think they're above it, right? But they're self-deceived. In God's economy, serving is the goal. Pride equals nothing. Does that make sense? In Mark 9:35, when sitting down with his disciples, he told them, anyone who wants to be first, if you're a follower of Jesus here today, if you want to be first in line, right, then you got to be the last and the servant of all. One person I see serving, or people I see serving more than almost everybody, thanklessly, are moms. If you're a mom here today, thank God for you. Okay? Did you just tap Vinny? That was hilarious, Nehemiah. This picture to me is a picture of servant. And if you notice a little picture here, she's running on empty. It's in the red, right? But yet she's given to those who are in need, right? And even those who are younger, that's what we're to do. And we need to be praying and asking the Lord, fill me up. Again, charge me up, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we don't have it in us. Many times I don't have it. And I'm like, Lord, just fill me up. I'm going to go and give anyway. And as I do that and I go and give, somehow he provides. Does that make sense? And he'll do the same for you. He will. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 3 to 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, with a humble heart, value others above yourself. That means, you know, why is this person in my seat? Well, you know what? Bless them. Thank you, Lord. I hope you really think of other people as more important than you. The enemy wants you to only focus on you. How does this affect me? And God is saying, I want you to see how it affects everyone around you. Does that make sense? And it goes on to say, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And you know what? I mean, many of you do that. Guys do that sometimes. They work so hard in the background. God bless them. You know, but moms, I see that too so much. You know, Leslie, you know what? I know you're not a perfect person. Okay, but let me tell you, I know you love your kid, and I know you pour what you can into little Paul. I see you trying to do that. And so you just, Lord, continue. Help me to just be thinking of others ahead of myself. Fill me up, Lord, right? Does that make sense? So, and don't worry about what other people are doing. Well, why should I do it? He's not doing it. She's not doing it. They're not doing it. Don't worry about that. Listen, the Bible says in Galatians 6:4, as we're going along through this Galatians, it says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you'll get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself with anyone else. Listen, if you're doing what you need to do for the Lord, then you're just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to bless others. Thank you for allowing me to help others. Thank you for allowing me to listen to others, encourage others. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. God, let God deal with them. Paul, through the pen of the Holy Spirit, is stressing the importance of our focus. As a Christian, it's easy to criticize another person or another ministry instead of the hard work of focusing on ourselves and the work God has for us. That's whatever I notice. Whether it's in myself or in others, whenever you find somebody that's always criticizing something in the church or in someone else, do you know what I notice? They're usually missing their own work in their own heart. That's why they're criticizing everybody else, because they don't want to look at their own life and their own heart. So we should be focusing on our own work, right? Then we won't need to compare ourselves to anyone else, just like Galatians 6:4 says, right? Then it goes on to say, and this is kind of like, wait a minute. It says, for each, in Galatians 6:5, it says, each one should carry their own load or burden. Well, wait a minute. I thought, Pastor, you just told me that we're supposed to carry each other's burdens, didn't you? And yes, I did. But the word for burden back in Galatians 6:2, it means, do you remember how they had all those boxes? It means a load that's too heavy to carry by yourself, right? This word is a different word for burden, and it's the word fortion, and it means it's actually it's taking personal responsibility for ourselves. In Greek, it's used to describe a backpack that a Roman soldier would wear. It would look like this. It's called a sarcina, and it was used to. This is his personal belongings. He'd have his bed. He'd have his food in there. His pots and pans. His shovels. His whatever he needed to live, and he'd carry that in a backpack. And so, this backpack carried everything he needed. It wasn't extra burdens. It wasn't like he was filled up. This was a different word. And so, what Paul is saying here is, I think when he's saying, each one should carry their own burden, right? He's saying, how do I put this? Lord, help me. Some of us are so immature in the Lord, whether you walk with the Lord for 50 years, gone to church 50 years, or 5 minutes, some of us can be a bit of a black hole. It's all about me. Me, me. I need you to help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Everybody needs to help me. Everybody needs to help me. Church needs to help me. School needs to help me. Husband needs to help me. Wife needs to help me. Kids needs to help me. Government needs to help me. Help me, 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 me. And God is saying, listen, here, you need to grow up a bit if that's you. You need to learn to carry your own burden. And then when you carry your own burden, guess what? Then it's easier to carry someone else's burden. Does that make sense? And you don't have to be that black hole. And you know what? There's certain people who are carrying other people's burdens in here that maybe you should be taking some off them. So I don't want you to be the baby Christian. Remember how we saw last week, the one with the bottle, right? We don't want you, well, you know, we definitely don't want to look like that baby. We don't want you to be that immature baby Christian, right? That's always focused on self, 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 self. We want you to be focused on others, right? But that, so when you focus on the Lord, you focus on others. So you need to carry, I see a hand up in the back. And so can we give him a microphone real quick? I think Jason's got it.
Oh, no, you already said it.
Okay.
About the, you know, you need meat instead of milk. You already said it. Mm.
I will say, you know, when I see somebody carrying somebody, there's so many wonderful people in here. I don't want anybody to feel slighted because I'm not mentioning you. But when I see somebody carrying others' burdens, you know, since Elijah, you just asked a question, I see you as a prime example of that. You're constantly saying, hey, not how do I help myself? How can I help others? How can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I encourage you? And you do it most of the time with a happy, humble heart. Don, same way. You're sitting right in front of him. Same way. How can I help? How can I bless? You specifically don't want any fanfare. You're just doing it to bless others. And there's so many more of you like that. Thank God for you. But if you're one of those black hole Christians or baby Christians, let God grow you up so that you're now focused on the Lord first and then others and yourself last. Yes, Anthony. And then we'll go with Dot. Yeah.
I'm not too far off base, but you know, part of that is the attitude of the heart when you go to bless others, you know. But in the same token, so many Christians have helped others and kind of gotten burned and things like that. Like I said, it's that black hole of constantly. But I think as Christians as well, if you are blessed, if someone has helped you with a burden, I think it's really important that we set a good standard too and be able to be faithful yes. back. Whether yes. it's a repayment, whether it's being there when they ask. And
yes.
you know what I'm saying? So we don't have this you know, a hardship between you know brother and sister kind of a thing
Correct.
In church. I think we need to have, this, as a recipient, we need to have the same attitude to be faithful in giving back when we're able to,
yes.
and make things right. And you know what I'm saying? Yes. Do your part, repayment, or do your part,
yes.
and being available when someone else needs it. I always go back to, you know, I think with Dana sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, Dana helped me one time, taking me places in the morning for when I was had my back surgery, things like
yeah.
that. He set a tone for me. Now that I'm home,
yeah.
I'm able to be there for others now.
Yes.
Is an example that was passed on, you know, to each
yes.
one of us.
Yes.
You know,
and that's what the Lord good. Actually, great word. That's what the Lord wants us to. He wants to raise you up to be that teacher, that instructor, that example. Right? Is that mature Christian? And that's what comes through example. Yeah, I saw someone else with the hand up. Is that you, Dot?
Okay. Yeah, it was me.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe I'm off base, but it looked like in verse 2, it was saying, "You Christian, mm-hmm. help other people."
Yeah.
And this verse, yeah. In verse 5, it's saying, "You Christian." Don't make other people do for you.
Yeah. Take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah, take responsibility for yourself. But that doesn't lighten
neglect you from doing, yeah.
Right. It doesn't prevent
Correct.
You from doing for others, but don't
Correct.
Push on somebody else
Correct.
What's your own.
Good word. Yes. Good. So, you know, remember, it says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us is going to receive what's due to us, whether that's good or bad. God's going to judge you on what you've done. Even if no one notices or no one sees it or no one thanks you or no one appreciates it, God sees every tear that falls. And you know, we don't want to be so focused on someone else. There was a time when the disciples were following Jesus, and one of the disciples was like, "Hey, what about him? What about him?" And then Jesus answered him, "What does it matter?" I'm paraphrasing. What does it matter what I say about him? What I'm saying to you, you follow me. You do don't worry about everybody else. You follow me. And Jesus would say, here's how you do that. Learn to carry your own personal burden, your own backpack, and then learn to help others and think of others ahead of yourself. Capiche? Right? Galatians 6:6 says, anyone who receives instruction in the word should share all things with their instructor. Now, some people think this is talking about money, but I think it's speaking, it could be sharing all things, like Anthony was saying. You know, it's like speaking a kind word to your instructor, sending them a text or note of encouragement from time to time, letting them know you're sincerely praying for them, sharing how God's convicting you as a result of your teaching or your encouragement or your prayers or your helping them, sharing your victories over sin, how you're growing in the Lord or how you're ministering to others, sharing the work as a result of you being taught the word of God. That's more valuable, hearing what God's doing in your life. This next section, this last few verses as we close with this, is about choices. It's about sowing and reaping. And this is not biblical, but this is a biblical principle, not from the Bible. It says, sow a thought, when it talks about sowing and reaping, these next couple last verses, sow a thought and you'll reap an act. Sow an act and you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit and you'll reap a character. Sow a character and you'll reap a destiny. Or this quote from C.S. Lewis, when he talks about choices that you're going to make, if we're talking about sowing seeds, you know, and what you're going to reap, whatever you plant is what you're going to harvest. He says, every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different from what it was before. You are slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or a hellish one. Every choice you make, where you invest your time, what you do, what you spend your thoughts on, your thinking, it's steering the boat. Or this is my word. If you want to learn to grow well, you have to learn to sow well. Okay? And so here are a few principles of sowing and reaping real quickly. Pastor, how long have I been teaching?
44 minutes.
Okay, so very quickly. When it talks about the Bible, sowing just means, you know, you're planting seeds, and reaping means the harvesting. So it says we reap and sow in a limited amount of time. What does that mean? Like farmers only have a certain amount of time to plant their seeds before the season ends, or there's not going to be a future harvest. Here's the uncomfortable word for everybody that nobody wants to think about. You're here for a very short time. You don't know how long that is. I hate to say it, but being a pastor in ministry for many, I've buried a lot of people. I've buried teenagers. I've buried folks in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 80s, and everywhere in between. And most of them didn't know it was their time to go. So I would encourage you to remember, we reap and sow in a limited time. God has given you this time. He's gifted you. He's planted his word in you, right? That's what the Bible talks about. It says the word is the seed of God. He's planted it in you, and it's growing, and it's bearing fruit. He didn't just have to keep it for yourself. He wants you to share it with others. Does that make sense? But you have a limited time to do that. Sometimes we forget that, or I'll just say I forget that, so nobody else feels guilty, right? But the Bible says this, right? In James 4:14, you can kind of see this guy fading away, right? Right? It says, you don't even know what'll happen tomorrow. James 4. Listen, what is your life, Sebastian? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. God's given you the time right now. Invest in people's lives. Listen, encourage them in the Lord. That's the whole point of this thing. Whatever you do, word and deed, do it all for God. Point people to the Lord. You're putting seeds, just like Anthony was talking about Dana being an example for him, taking him places when he needed to go medically, and now he does it for someone else. That's planting seeds, right? Or when I think of the scripture picture I made, I think of the Steve Miller Band. Anybody remember the Steve Miller Band? Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Sorry. Anyway. Okay, Psalm 90:12 says, teach us, Lord, to number our days, because then we can gain a heart of wisdom. Listen, if you think you have all the time in the world, it doesn't matter. I'll put it off till tomorrow. And I'm a great putter-offer. Just be honest. But God is saying, look, you don't, if you, God, teach me to number my days so I know that I'm here. Then, man, I want to pour all I can in the time I have left. That's a wise heart. Or this Psalm 39:4 in the New Living Translation, right? We're here. Remember James said we're here just for a minute. We're like a vapor. It says, Lord, remind me of how brief my time on earth will be. Listen, remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. Make good use of it for the Lord. When you get before the Lord, he's not going to care how many hours you played on a video game, how much TV you watched, what did you do with my son? What did you do with others? What did you do with the word that I've given you? He's not going to even say, and these are good things, he's not going to say, well done, good and faithful tither. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful, prophet, or well done, good and faithful, you name it, whatever, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Serving others. This was my favorite verse. I did this on the very first sermon I ever did for this church by C.T. Studd. Only one life and it'll soon be past, and only what's done for Christ is going to last. Reminder for all of us, not to condemn you, right? You understand that? To encourage you and to stir you up to love and good deeds for the Lord. Does that make sense? The second principle is we reap the same kind as we sow. In other words, if I plant tomatoes, I'm not going to get grapes or something. But so if you're planting sinful thoughts and actions, you're going to reap those consequences. Like, if I watch a show that's got a lot of cursing in it, right? You know what I notice? After a while, I don't even realize I'm doing it because I'm so used to it. If you're putting garbage in, garbage out. If you're putting good stuff in, guess what? Good stuff's going to be coming out. Does that make sense? If you're planting God's words and actions in yourself and in others, you're going to reap the blessing. Galatians, as we continue on, says this, Galatians 6, 7-8 says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Well, first, that tells me that we can be deceived as a Christian. The enemy can tell you and lie to you, oh, you got plenty of time, or you can listen to that, you can do that, you can look at that online. Heck no, you cannot, because it's going to take you down a bad road. At least it has for me, and no thank you. I reject that in Jesus' name. So don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man or a woman is going to reap what they sow. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, I'm going to make it all about me, 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 selfish, selfish, selfish. Then you know what? You're going to reap destruction. That word in Greek means rot. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, he's going to reap eternal life or eternal blessings. And that word deceived, again, that means to be led away, to be tricked, to wander, to roam from safety, to be led astray into deception, error, to be seduced, right? And that's a perfect word for you. Don't be seduced. God's not going to be mocked. Look, if you sow to please yourself and you're not thinking about the Lord, well, you're going to reap that. If you're sowing to please the Lord, you're putting the good words in you, God's word in you, his heart, his word, his spirit, well, then that's what's going to be out of your life. Casting Crowns, I don't know if you know that group. They're a good group. But anyway, they've got a song that it talks about. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away, when you're focused on yourself and selfish interests, right? It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray and thoughts invade. Choices will be made, and then a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. And that is so true. The third law to the principle of sowing and reaping is we reap in a different season when we sow. So Schettelbauer means head farmer. And so farmers don't plant a seed, a tomato plant, and then sit and watch it grow. No, you plant it, and then it grows. Usually the seeds bear in a different season after a long time, right? And Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Listen, sometimes I get discouraged because I don't see the fruit immediately. I really do. I'm like a now person. I want to invest in Mary Kate and then get right back. And that's not usually how things go with people. Because you plant that seed and it takes a while to grow. I doubt anyone has ever planted a seed, that's a fruit bearing. No one's planted an orange and then like the next day said, oh, there's the orange tree, right? It takes a while to grow. We have to tend it, water it. You get the idea, right? But if you don't give up, right, all those tears, all that self-sacrifice is going to be worth it. The Bible says those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. So don't give up, sister. Don't give up, brother. You get it? All right, Don, I saw a hand up real quick before we close out in these last few. And thank you guys for being patient.
It says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony.
Yes.
And I felt like I was supposed to give a testimony at the beginning. And I've kind of been watching your sermon, and it's like, okay, Lord, I got to do this. On a Wednesday night, you know, we have a youth group here, and it's kids, young men from the church, young women from the church, yeah. Normally.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's convenient. Yeah. Their parents can pick them up after. But I don't think they realize... Jason had asked at the end of the service if anybody needed prayer. And we do that, you know, almost every time. But sometimes it's grandma has this or, you know, my friend has this. And the Lord put on my heart to pray for my neighbor. And he was told he had a kidney stone that was too big to pass. They're in there looking at it several times. I said, oh, well, you got a tumor, too. So I'm working on their house, and his wife is just now disheveled, you know, all these bad words coming and surgery. And so I brought it up at the youth. These young men here were here, and we prayed for my friend Patrick. And so I didn't see him for about 2 weeks after the surgery. I kind of just... letting them heal. And I know people can be uncomfortable when you come over when they're, you know, having, they told him he'd have a colostomy bag and stuff, crazy stuff. And he goes, man, thank you for praying for me. And I go, yeah? He says, yeah, they got in there and there was nothing there. And his wife, they told her 4-hour surgery. So she was ready to camp out at the hospital for 4 hours. Well, they came out in like 30 minutes. And now she's scared to death. It's like, uh-oh, you know, something must have happened. And it's because there was nothing there. They were able to open them up. And it was like, so, you know, these young people, they come and they think maybe they're just here to hang out. But God is teaching all of us that our efforts,
yes,
our prayers,
yes,
are, you know, and even one of them being missing. I know we've,
yes,
had a lot missing,
yeah,
over the,
yeah,
summer.
Yeah.
Can change the dynamic of what,
correct,
God wants to do.
Yes.
Each one of these young people carry a Holy Spirit, carry a power with them.
Yes.
And when they're not here, we're missing out on that blessing of them,
yes,
not, you know,
yes,
being here. And just want to encourage the ones that are coming.
Yes.
Get your friends involved.
Yeah.
You know, the testimony of what God can do through, you know, when a righteous man prays, things happen.
And, that's right. God still performs miracles today. So thank you for thinking
about
others.
Yeah, I just wanted to bless the youth for,
yeah,
you know, doing that. And,
thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that testimony, brother. Good. The last bit as we close out is we reap more than we sow, okay? If farmers would only plant one, you know, plant, if I planted one apple seed and then I waited 10 years, right, or 20 years, and there was one apple, I'd be like, ah, forget it. It's not worth it, right? But we reap more than we sow. So you're planting seeds that are going to grow and bear fruit in other people. That's why it's so critical for you to plant that seed in other people so that it can water and grow. Like, you don't make it grow. God makes it grow. But you can water, you can till it, you can feed, fertilize it. Can I say that? But you get what I'm saying, right? So God has created plants for fruitfulness and multiplication, right? In the parable of the sower, it says the seed that fell on the good soil represent those who hear and accept God's word. They produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as planted. And then the last one that we have is we can't change past harvests, only future ones. You can let guilt, shame burden you down to where you can't even move. I get it. I've been there. But you know what? You can't do anything about the past. Some harvests have been scarce. Sometimes have been disappointing. But others are going to yield bumper crops, right? So don't live in the past. If you want future crops, plant in the present. I'm going to, let me do these couple illustrations. This is Alfred Nobel. He woke up one morning, the Nobel Prize guy. And he woke up one morning, he's a rich guy, and he read his own obituary in the local paper. And so he's like, what is this? And it read, Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday. He did other things other than the Nobel Peace Prize, but he invented dynamite. It says he died yesterday. He devised a way to for more people to be killed in a war than ever before. And he died a very rich man. And that was his little epitaph or whatever. But the paper got it wrong. It was actually Alfred's older brother that died. And so the newspaper just messed it up. But that account had a tremendous impact on Nobel, and he decided he wanted to be remembered for something different other than what he was doing currently. As a result, he initiated the Nobel Prize to reward individuals who foster peace. And he said every man ought to have a chance to correct his own epitaph in midstream and write a new one. Isn't that great? You have that same chance. Doesn't matter what you did in the past. What matters now is where you go from here today. Does that make sense? Listen, Lisa, my wife, has a great saying. It's an old Chinese proverb. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. That will bear fruit was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And then the last verse here as we close out says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are in the household of faith. So be looking on how to help people, how to encourage people, how to bless people, because the world is closing in and it's nothing but garbage, right? So all the more, carry some burdens from your brothers and sisters. Seek to find out how they're doing. Get involved with these Bible studies, lives, things like that. And this is our last verse as we leave with Ephesians 5, 15, 16. It says, Be very careful, how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity. You have an opportunity to take that Experiencing God course. Why don't you take it? You have an opportunity. We'll get you anything you want to study the Bible. Audio, video, book, Christian, anything you want, we'll give it to you free as a gift in Jesus' name. Just so you can be encouraged and strengthened. Make the time, take the time. Sue, is it really quick before I close out in prayer? All right. Sorry, we need a microphone because people will get mad.
What came to my mind is, what if someone hadn't planted that seed in me, where would I be?
Yes, right. And I'm sure when that seed was initially planted, I'll just tell you, just to be honest, when those seeds were initially planted in me, the poor people who planted it. I'm serious, man. I gave them such a hard time. And they didn't do it all right either, by the way. But God worked it out, and so hopefully fruit will be born, and hopefully more fruit will be born in you. Amen? Lord, I pray for your blessing on these wonderful people. Thank you, Lord, for their wonderful patience, Lord God. And when we get back into Hebrews 6, either next week or the week after, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless that as well. But let your fruit, let your seeds be planted deep. Let fruit grow. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would help everyone here be a burden bearer, that they would look and see, that you would show them how they can help someone else, encourage them in the Lord, listen, instruct, however you do it, Lord God, to be one of those type of Christians, Lord God, that not only carries their own burden, Lord, and takes responsibility for themselves, but helps others, Lord. Bless this wonderful congregation. Bless the church, the school, and all the Bible studies that go on this week. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Have a great week, folks. God bless you.